NA DMH Mobile.
Orange 8. Hey, DMH, KBSW. KBSW.
Hey, DMH Mobile.
Well then.
Oh, it's that guy.
What frequency are you on? You got a heck of a spouse crash.
Yeah, I'm on 2-6. It does that whenever they got that exhaust fan running.
I didn't understand what you said. It does that when what?
It does it when they have the exhaust fan that's about 5 feet from the antenna running. It'll do it sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, boy.
I have news for you. I've acquired a new MTR 2000, so soon I'll have a 3000 available to do some MI5 up here.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool. Get that online up there. You know where you're going to put it?
I'll probably just go at the hospital for now until I can find a better home for it.
Gotta start somewhere.
That's for sure. Hey, at least it's a short week this week. At least for me, anyway. And then tomorrow I want to go absolutely nowhere because it's going to be impossible to get anywhere.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to have a 3-day weekend. The way it's looking anyway, knock on wood. No, that's always subject to change without notice. So, I believe that's the way it's going to go, but I'm a bad man and I won't bet money on it, so there you go.
We'll see how your bet goes then. But, yep. I don't even know what I've got on my plate today, so I guess I'll find out when I pull into the shop.
Well, sounds to me like you got an MTR 3000 to get on DMR. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also looks like somebody named the Watch for Pedestrians sign here at the roundabout at Keystone and Cass. That's rather ironic.
Gotcha. Yeah. As long as they hit the sign and not the pedestrian, I mean, that's something right there. Yeah, I was out HNN site till, I think I left there at 10 o'clock last night. Helping them out, getting the air and three air conditioners going, and filters were plugged, and stuff needed to be rent, washed out. Valve on the one needed to be tightened, and oh man, it was 99 degrees when I got there inside the building.
I will never forget the time when we still had that old mission tower, and a bunch of stuff went offline. I run up there, get in the shack, and it was like a heat wave. It was 110 degrees in there because somebody at the county thought it was a good idea to set the heater to 5, and that's the highest setting. And it was pretty warm in there. I had the door open for about 20 minutes, and it took that long to drop it down to 80 degrees in there. Oh, and it was the dead of winter.
Probably around maybe 5 o'clock. Like I said, it was 10 o'clock when I left, and it was down to 78, so that was with the doors open. Of course, it was pretty hot outside. We had a cold front come through. We were able to open the doors, and that helped, but even the block wall was hot. It's like, man, it takes a lot to get that cool back down after all that masses, you know. I'm sure the thermometer went more than 99, but both thermometers said it was 99 in there, so it was not good. And I guess it's been like this for a bit. They were fighting with the tower owner to find out who was supposed to maintain the AC units. And instead of just opening them up and changing the filters, you know. What do? I'm trying to be a good neighbor. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, go ahead, sir.
Fancy hearing you over here. Go ahead. W2PUT, KBSWR.
Good morning. Just sitting here at the desk listening, eavesdropping. Oh, man, nothing like overheated sights. Oh, gosh. Several years back, a very large chrome system went off the air, causing huge problems. Ultimately, it was figured out that it was because of equipment that overheated at one site. And on a Friday, on a Monday, I was up to that site with someone else who had been up to there on the Friday. And it was like stepping into a blast furnace in there. The thermometer on the wall said 120. And I was like, oh my God, is this hot? He's like, oh, it's so much cooler than the ones in here on Friday. Yeah, that was an experience. Got me some overtime. How is it?
There you go. That's certainly an adventure. So, I have balls in the shop. I gotta jump out of here, guys. You guys carry on. Hey, DMH Mobile.
Sounds good. Have a good day, Drake. Glad to hear you're gonna be getting MI5 on up there. PC, that'd be cool. Expand the horizon. So, Dan, your audio is low compared to Drake. I can hear your Wi-Fi searching for connectivity, I believe it is. So, I don't know what you got going on there, but, yeah, go ahead. I'm sure it was 99 at, I don't know, probably the 5-foot level. I'm sure at the ceiling it was a lot hotter than that. But, anyway, go ahead. W2PT, okay, that's over here.
Okay, I'll say good morning on 7-3 to Drake. Actually, Jeff, I am not going in on one of my nodes. At the HTM and outside antenna, I am going in on the 7-4 up here. I'm not Sheboygan or Hackleberg VHS.
All right, yeah, you got some static in there, air noise in there with you too, so. All right, I'm not going to, we can go elsewhere because it's driving me nuts. So I'll catch you over on a note. Give me that stuff here.
Okay, I'll just get things going for the morning here. I'll catch up with you later over on the hub. The coffee is just finished brewing, so I got to get myself a cup of coffee and have a bowl of cereal and whatnot. I just turn the radio on and like 2 seconds after it turned on, you guys came on, so I figured I would say good morning. W2PUT.
Yeah, Jeff, real quick, that pulsing static you're hearing is actually the tower lights. it's been an issue with that repeater for a long time, and it's not going to go away. So it's those LED tower lights causing a little bit of noise on the repeater. Any DMH?
Thanks, Drake. Yeah, that fits in there. Now that you mention it, it's got that pattern. So you'll find some of the nodes that are looking for Wi-Fi do that same thing, but anyhow, thanks for the update. Keep it up, Stubber.
Oh, yeah, we sometimes have that problem. It's only noticeable on weak signals on the 443.1 that's at the North Olympia PSCS site. Well, the site markers is directly beneath the antenna. So it does happen. All right. Excuse me. Catch you guys a little bit later. W2PT.
Tower, T-Mobile. 888-RK-Mobile.
KF8ENF monitoring.
W8RPM, KC8NAS mobile. Nothing heard, KC8NAS mobile, stand by.
KF8ENF.
YSS in the mobile monitoring. Anybody out there?
W8RPM mobile.
W8RPM, NAYSS in the mobile.
Well, John, happy Thursday. What's going on? We got a buddy of mine driving up from the south. I think that was him scratching, trying to get in, but probably not far enough north yet. How's your day? How's your week?
Doing well. I'm done with my day, and I'm heading south, although I took the Wolverine Road to kind of stay off the main roads with all the traffic. So I'm done for the day and done for the week.
Yeah, at least there's two of us that are still working, at least somewhat. I'm not really working full-time, but I'm working three different gigs, sort of part-time on call as I feel like it. So that probably counts as one full-time one. Yeah, I'm hearing all kinds of horror stories about the traffic. What should have been a, you know, normal Thursday commute is really, this is a holiday Friday, is today. And I talked to my buddy a little while ago. Around 1 o'clock he was in Flint, and it said 3:45 for Gaylord, so that's kind of where I'm heading to meet up and pass some stuff off. Can't really complain about the weather today. You know, not too hot, not too cold, not terribly sticky or humid. Certainly better than the 90s from last week.
Yeah, or the freezing rain we had 3 months ago. I was just passing some trees that got snapped off. So, yeah, it's, I guess you can't really complain. I figured it was going to be bad in traffic, you know, just by the nature of the beast. Just everybody wants to come up north, so probably be laying low over the weekend. And, yeah, I'm one of those, too, that I'm just working part-time, one job. Well, I guess you'd call it one job. I do that, and then I also volunteer for a couple of different things.
Yeah, I'm still on a couple boards and a couple committees and plenty of stuff to keep me going. I happened to meet, they talk about the storm. I happened to meet with an insurance adjuster at one of the commercial buildings I'm have responsibility for. Just met him yesterday, and we exchanged some stories. He's been, nonstop since March 29th. I'm like, yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, I was talking with, he's kind of a short care relation on my wife's side. He was an insurance adjuster for a collision company, and he retired about, well, he was working part-time, and then he fully retired about, 3 weeks before the ice storm hit. And he was very thankful for that.
I'm surprised he didn't get recruited back. you know, a lot of times people retire from careers, end up going back teaching, consulting, whatever. You know, if you do it on a small enough scale, it doesn't affect your retirement or your Social Security or anything like that. So I started collecting Social Security, but I have to be cautious as to how much I earn because I'm not my full retirement age yet. So I have to consciously limit my additional income for the next two and a half years.
Yeah, I know that can be a bit tricky. I just kept right on work until I got to the end where I maxed it out, not just full retirement age, but I maxed it out. I was looking at my dad, and he lasted to 95. In fact, he pulled off the neat trick. He was retired longer than he had worked. So I figured that I have fairly good chromosomes. At least I hope I'm getting his instead of my mom's. Mom didn't do quite so hot. She passed away at 72. And Dad outlived two wives. So I maxed it out, and I'm still working, so I don't need to worry about how much money I make on that. It's just I have to pay, you know, the good old IRS and FICA and that.
Well, at least for now. That may be changing soon, but I haven't been keeping up with what's going on with that stuff. I have very mixed feelings about it. There's a lot of things in that big, beautiful bill that I support, and then there's a lot of other things that they might be okay, but they really should be looked at individually. That should be 15 individual pieces of legislation and not one. Not that I, you know, I'm diametrically opposed to anything particular that's in it, but I just don't like this stuff getting rushed through like that. Doesn't ever seem like it's in the taxpayer's best interest. But no, I started drawing Social Security the very minute I could. Because just the way the math works out, you know, I'd have to live well into my 80s just to break even, and I don't know how likely that is. You know, both my parents are gone, my genes are nasty, and I have a little bit of history already, not really slowing me down yet, but you never know one day. Hey, give me just a second pause here. Dave, are you in range? WJ8R from W8RPM. Yeah, probably still a little too soon. No, Dave. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Ron, I thought it was interesting. You know, I've listened to all these different experts on YouTube on when to draw your Social Security. You know, and they're kind of like weathermen. They all point in different directions.
Well, I have kind of a philosophy. And, I mean, I've been in the banking and finance game since the 90s. You know, I retired from one career in 99 and on a lark got into banking and finance and mortgages and stuff and kind of been dabbling in that ever since. Before you had to have a license to do mortgages, so I have a very low NMLS number. It was one of the first ones issued after they started the program in 2008, so I've got, you know, 16, 17 years in that game. Had my real estate license for 6 or 7 years, and you know, I don't say this to be flippant, and I'm sure that there's some value in her advice, but what I found is I listen to whatever Susie Orman says, and then I do the exact opposite.
Really? I think that's one of the few people I didn't listen to. Interesting.
I'll take Dave Ramsey over Susie Orman any day. But both of them are a little too mainstream consumer, sort of generic, to where they never get terribly specific and really look at people's individual situations. They're just, you know, they're looking at an issue, and they give generic advice, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I'm much more of a Dave Ramsey believer than I am a Susie Orman believer. You know, I liked Jim, the crazy stock guy. You know, I think that years ago, he was a lot more relevant and a lot more accurate. The hell's his name? Can't even remember his last name. Kramer, Jim Kramer. Orman just, she is just out there. She's given more bad advice than more good, at least to the people that I'm kind of aware of in my little circle. But yes, you know, even the licensed financial planners, you know, the CFPs, the Series 6, 7, 63 investment advisors, and, you know, yeah, Weatherman is being generous, you know. There's not very many professions where you can get paid to be wrong consistently.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. You know, you got me curious. One of these times you're going to have to listen to Susie Orman and just hear what she has to say, because I don't think I listened to her. Probably one of the best pieces of advice I heard was, okay, figure out how old you think you're going to last or how long you're going to last. If you're going to last past 78, wait till later to draw security. If you don't think you're going to make it to 78, then draw it early. And that seemed like, well, that's about as good as anything.
It's a little overly simplistic, but it's not wrong. In my case, you know, I started drawing right at 62 and a half. And I would have to, I think I'd have to live to 87 or 84, or I don't remember exactly. And that's just to break even. You know, that's just to be a penny or a dollar ahead with the extra 7% or 8% you would get annually by waiting till the, wait until 65. And again, for me, you know, my DOB is in 60. My full retirement age isn't until 67 and a half, which is 2.5 years from now. It was 5 years from when I started collecting. So, there are some guys out there that are super smart, and they've been kind of low profile lately. You know, the Kyocera guy, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, one of the best books I ever read, investment-wise. There's some other ones out there that are just over-the-top phenomenal, but there's other ones that are just over-the-top wrong.
Yeah, I like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm not so much of a reader as I am a listener. You know, I get the audio book, and this is one of the audio books I listen to, and I thought he was pretty good on a lot of that. You know, we overlook so much that we could do to better our situation.
Well, and it's getting the message through, and I think I did a pretty good job with my daughter. My daughter's 34, married 3 years. They both have 4-year degrees. She's since gotten 2 master's degrees that her employers paid for 100%. So, you know, they did everything right. They waited. They got married. They're trying to work on getting the family going. Not having a lot of luck. Hope that changes. But I think really the key is putting the most basic financial literacy in the hands of adolescents and late teen, early 20s adults, you know, to not fall into the credit card trap, to, you know, be dedicated with some sort of savings plan, to understand the rule of seven, you know, the fact of the methodology of math between compound interest. You know, you could take, if you start at age 16 or 18 and you take a set amount, even if it's $100 or $200 a month, and you religiously set that aside 12 months a year for 20 years and then stop. You can stop contributing and just let that do its thing over time. If it matches the Dow, you know, or matches the NASDAQ, you're going to have a lot of money when you're old.
Yep, something like that works out pretty good.
It's just getting people to listen, you know. I know that when I started making decent money, you know, in my 20s, I wasn't extravagant. but, you know, I certainly didn't save like I should have. And, you know, I got out of an hourly wage type of career and got into the lending and finance. Man, if I would have known, you know. And I tried telling my kid, I tried telling my son-in-law, because they're both in their early 30s, go get your real estate license. Even if you just help me, or, you know, take some of our appointments downstate, handle some of the business that we still have downstate, you know. I mean, it's never been a full-time gig for me, but it doesn't have to be. You know, if you can do one or two closings a month, you could practically live on that income. And if it's a supplement to your full-time income, you know, I mean, the lifestyles of some of these realtors is just ridiculous. And I got in, not to be derogatory to my own profession, but there's a lot of people in real estate for a reason, because they couldn't make it anywhere else. You know, they couldn't exist in a real job. That's why they're in real estate.
Yeah, well, I know a friend of mine, he's Sankey, he was a ham too. He sold insurance, but one of the things, he had a real estate license, and he moonlighted at it, and it helped, you know, it gave him some extra income, and it helped him out quite a bit. Yeah, and I'm on the expressway now, and the lane going north is pretty solid, two lanes, and I'm on the southbound, and it's kind of sporadic for two lanes, but it's quite a bit of traffic moving.
I'm southbound as well. I just crossed into Otsego County. Traffic seems pretty normal here, although northbound does seem maybe a little heavier than normal for a Thursday, and we're not really into rush hour yet. There does seem to be more northbound traffic. You know, I kind of did that too. I had an insurance license. I absolutely hated the industry. I only made a couple of bucks in it, and it's like, wow, this is just too sleazy for me. So I let my insurance license go by just not keeping up my CE. And then, you know, that was the first one I got. And then later on in life, that's not true. I got my mortgage broker license first. Then I got my insurance license, which I only had for one or two terms, and I let that go. And then probably in 2015 or 16, I got my real estate license, so it's 8 or 9 years. Let me take another quick shout to Dave. Any Daves on frequency, W8RPM. Wow, you even got a signal. You must be getting close. I'm at the 290. Hey, you got to step the audio up. Your road noise and mobile flutter is as loud as you are. Dave, meet John. John, meet Dave. WHR Dave, N8YSS John. John. Your audio sucks. It's awful. It's so low I can barely hear you. I will see you on Simplex in a few miles. Like I said, just at the 290. So I've got 8 miles. 8 miles till the exit, I think. 282. So I'll look for you on Simplex. I don't know what's going on with your audio, though. It's like it's broke. Please tell me it's not a max track with bad cap. I wonder if it's the electret element in the microphone and it's not getting B+. I mean, it's super low, super low. I mean, you know, I got the windows rolled up, I got the air on. I can hear you, but man, you're way, way in the mud. John, where'd you go?
I shipped it over to Indian River. I can copy now.
Oh, so you went from, what'd you go from the 1.9 to the 7.4?
That's affirmative. I was just on the 1-9. I started out by Petoskey there.
And that thing really plays well. It really, really plays well. It's got so much duplicate coverage of the 7-4, especially up in that Conway, Odin, Alanson, and then all the way up almost to Pelston. And when you get up toward Pelston, you got the overlap from the 1-1. But anyway, all right, I'm going to run off to Simplex with my buddy here. We got some rendezvousing to do. But I'm glad your week's over, John. And hey, have you been going to the meetings? They're still the second Tuesday, right?
I'm not sure of that. I don't usually go to the Gaylord meetings. I'm from Grayling. So, in fact, I'm actually the activity director of the Grayling Club and the Refeeder Trustee. So, you know, once in a while I pop in the Gaylord. That sounds about right. You know, John would be the one to know.
Yeah, 9-0-N, John. Yeah, I'll send him a message. I've always had, when I was on our township board, I always consistently had a conflict because our township board meeting always conflicted with the club meeting. But now that I'm no longer on the board, I don't have that conflict anymore. And most of the time, I just simply forget. So I'm going to have to put on my calendar and try showing up at least once in a while. So, yeah, the 7-4 does okay, you know, but the 1-9 has really got a much, much bigger footprint than the 7-4. All right, sir. Well, thanks for returning my call, and have a good weekend. We'll see you down the page. And Dave, I'll see you on Simplex, W8RPM.
Ron, thanks for riding along with me. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not that acquainted with the 1-9. I guess I'm going to have to make sure that I always use it so when I'm up in the area. And by the way, they did send out a flyer for the swap in Gaylord there in September. Can't remember the date off the top of my head, but something, check your email. They probably got it in there. So 7-3, have a great weekend. Any RPM, any YSS in the mobile.
I did get it. I think it's the 20th, maybe the 22nd of September. And yeah, I absolutely will be attending. I'll probably be VE and if they need me. Those towers are south of town. They're like south of the Walmart and the Meijer. And the name of the road, is it Knight Road, King Road? Might be Knight Road. I don't remember. But, you know, commercial site, two or three towers up there. I think that's where the broadcast, 600-foot broadcast tower collapsed in the storm. But, yeah, the AGL is crazy, and so is the coverage. So, all right, see you later. W8RPM, just like.
KFAENF. Enjoyed listening to your conversation, gentlemen. Hope you're having a great day.
Yep, enjoy the day. NAYSS.
Hi, John. My name's Bentley. New ticket holder here. Just started listening in on the 2 meters around here. I'm on that 1-9 repeater in Harbor Springs. And I think what Ron was saying there, maybe that tower's located on Krause Road. That seems to be where a number of them are located in on what we affectionately call Chandler Hill.
You know, those names sound familiar, and I think you might be right on that. I am not real well acquainted with the 1-9. I've just been kind of impressed by it. Usually I wind up using the 6-8 or the 7-4 or something like that, but it's an awesome repeater.
Tried it out with my mobile rig much yet because I've been laying low and trying to avoid the traffic in town this week. But yeah, I do intend to see what the reach of it is as I drive around the area one of these days.
Well, Bentley, do you for your work, do you drive around much, or are you at one location?
Road quite a bit, but that seems to have calmed down. In recent years, and I don't get out as much as I used to. So used to be I would travel up to the western UP, central and western UP, all the way down, unless I could help it, down to southeast Michigan to visit my customers. Alpena, down near Ludington, some of those areas, all my old stomping grounds.
Okay, yeah, that's actually, I'm an outside salesman for an industrial supplier, so I do travel a fair amount. Although I'm semi-retired now, I don't travel near as much as I used to, so I try to cut it down. So I'm not traveling near, like I say, near as much, but some of the folks that are traveling, copy machine technicians, salesmen, and various other people that are traveling a fair amount, like traveling locally, it seems like amateur radio kind of lends itself to that lifestyle.
In sales for natural gas utility, and my job is to take care of these very, very large industrial customers that we have. Mine are actually the largest. So if you're in industrial sales, maybe we have some of the same customers.
Well, Bentley, industrial sales is a big, broad category. Mine's more like excavating companies. It's industrial hardware is what it is. So it's excavating, road commissions, golf courses, ski resorts, body shops, and that kind of thing. So it's not as huge industrial. I do have some factories, too.
Although a lot of my customers do handle a lot of bulk materials, wood, coal, other materials, and they use a lot of big equipment.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's some of them like that that are out there handling a lot of things like that. I've been a ham for about over 30 years now. Kind of got into it because there wasn't too much in the line of cell coverage. So you can see how long ago that was.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when they handed me my first cell phone, graduated from a pager. And, you had roaming charges back in the day, and you had your home area. And, it was a different world then. And, boy, there were plenty of nice places to hide from a cell signal if you wanted to be off-grid. But I was not into radios at the time, and that would have been a pretty cool thing to toy with it back then.
Yeah, it was. And some of the repeaters had an auto patch, so you could make phone calls. A lot of them blocked it, so it was only local phone calls. But you could call 911 if you needed.
That's interesting. So how has the, let's say, the 2-meter repeater infrastructure changed over the years? Are there more of them now than there were, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Has it always kind of been this way?
I guess my thought was it's probably about the same. The biggest difference, though, by far, is like a repeater like in Petoskey. You could hear people on it fairly frequently. I mean, there wasn't that many blasts of violence. It was someplace that's fairly populated, like Traverse City. And there'd be a few minutes, there'd be some spaces in there where there wasn't any talking, but there was a lot more conversation going on, even on the smaller repeaters. Small town repeater, maybe you could still get a hold of somebody.
Well, I kind of wonder if the advances in cell phone communications have kind of killed some of that interest off with younger people. I've only just gotten into it myself. I'm in my middle 50s. Something that's always fascinated me, but I've never actually had the time and and been willing to expend the effort to look into it. I got into the GMRS game a couple of years ago and have really been enjoying that, and started looking at some of the shortcomings of that and the capabilities of the 2-meter and other frequencies, so I decided to get my technician's license and just kind of dipping my toe in the water now.
Yeah, that's what I would say is probably the biggest difference. Although, interesting enough, my impression, I think there's more 4-4 beams out there, And I don't know. In some ways, I think there might be a few more 2-meter repeaters because the economics, it seems like it's not that expensive to get a 2-meter repeater anymore.
You know, what's around me and, you know, if I travel somewhere, what's going to be around me? Seems like there is a whole lot of 70-centimeter stuff out there, and I've been curious, is it really that usable? Well, John, not sure if you can still hear me. You may be dropped off on range, but I'll be sticking around, KF8ENF monitoring.
7-3, I just got out of range and got in a dead spot. Any, why is that? 7-3.
Oh. Yeah, so the question I asked was, you know, looking at repeater book, there seems to be a ton of 70-centimeter stuff around, and just wondering how popular and how useful that may actually be. My new radio is an ICOM, so it's got the D-Star, and it seems to be that the D-Star repeaters are the 70-centimeter ones around here.
And at ATX.
Go ahead.
Hey, I've been copying in the mail on you guys. So, yeah, the 443375, which is on the same tower that the 145.19 is on, that is a full-stack multi-mode digital platform repeater. So it's D-Star, DMR, Fusion, P25. So your D-Star radio will work on that.
Well, I haven't got that deep into the manual yet, but that's good to know. I might give it a try one of these days.
Yep, it's a lot of fun. You can connect to pretty much anywhere in the world. We've got MMBVM, UHF in Petoskey on Cross Road, and then we've also got a MMBVM UHF in Mackinac City where the 1-1 is.
Good to know. Now, I've got here at my home base, I'm in Harbor Springs, and I noticed that there was a 70-centimeter repeater in Atlanta that I've tried hitting, and I've had great luck even getting up into Sheboygan on my GMRS frequencies, but I can't seem to get that one to open up. So I don't know if it's just not running or if there's something else going on where I'm not properly tuning into it.
No, that's a DMR repeater. So that's a digital protocol repeater, but it's not D-Star. There's different types of digital. You've got your DMR, your D-Star, your Yaesu System Fusion, and then Motorola's, APCO P25. So the one in Lampson is a small repeater. It's a DMR that's on the Central Michigan Emergency Network's MI5 system.
Well, that might explain some of my troubles. I was not actually trying to use any digital. I was just trying to connect to it in analog.
Yep, it's not going to do a whole lot for you. It's looking for a digital channel from a DMR radio, so it won't come back to you. If you do have GMRS, though, I don't know if you've tried it, but where we have the 146.74 in Sheboygan, there's a GMRS repeater there, too. That thing cranks, and it's linked up to about a dozen or so other GMRS repeaters across the state.
It's kind of our go-to when we weren't able to get into Del Reynolds' GMRS repeater that he has up on the Stutzmanville Tower. That was giving him a little bit of trouble, but that was always our primary. But, yeah, we could always get into Sheboygan and use that as a secondary if the guys in the area were having trouble connecting. There does tend to get a little bit of traffic on that from the Detroit 600 down there that tends to get quite a bit of talk on it.
Yep, it's definitely a very active machine. Yeah, it's linked up to, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 still repeaters. I'd have to pull up the dashboard and look and see what all is connected to it, but it's got a few machines tied into it, so... Yeah, you get traffic from all over the place.
Well, thanks for that. So, yeah, I'm looking at the repeater book right now, and that Lanson, 70-centimeter repeater does not indicate that it's digital only, although there is another one there that comes up as digital. So, again, that's why I was trying to just hit it analog. 443-200 is the input on it.
That's French brother brother's repeater. That's down in Fenton now. It's not up here.
I would explain it. Thank you.
Well, that answers that.
Yeah, thanks for that update. I'll take that one off my list.
Yep, so here in Harbor Springs, primaries are going to be the 145-19 in Petoskey, the 146-74 in Sheboygan, and the 145-11 in Mackinac City. And then for your D-Star, your 443-375 in Petoskey and 444-375 in Mackinac City.
Well, great. Thank you for that intel. Like I said, I haven't tried using the D-Star stuff yet. Still have to get set up on my radio. Just trying to make some just general analog repeater and simplex connections, and been having a lot of fun with that. So I'll keep that in mind when I get to that next level. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you do go starting on the D-Star stuff, if you need any hand with that, I can always help you out. I'm here locally. Well, I'm in Sheboygan, but I work over in Harbor just about every day, so I'm always around. If you look me up, I don't know if you've dealt with QRZ yet, but if you look me up on QRZ, you can grab my email and shoot me a message.
Call sign, would you mind sharing it with me again?
Yep, N8APX, November 8, Alpha, X-ray.
And what's your name, please?
My name is Adam, Alpha Delta Alpha Mike.
Adam, my name's Bentley, KF8ENF, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo November Foxtrot.
All right, copy. It still blows my mind to hear KF8 station. That's awesome, though. Well, welcome to the hobby. Glad to have you for sure.
That I'm getting from just a couple of days of being on the air with you guys. What a great little community. Thank you.
Yeah, we like to have a good time here. I think the other station you heard in there was Drake. He's the mastermind behind all the fun things we put up around here. He's down in Traverse City, but I drag him up here whenever I have technical problems. But we've got some cool repeaters. They do some fun things, and they've got some really good coverage. So enjoy it.
You got another minute. Any experience with the local club around here, the Straits Area Amateur Radio Club? I was thinking about dropping in on one of their meetings and just seeing what they're all about. I think one of their principals was my daughter's Spanish teacher at Petoskey High School, so I was going to see if what their activities are around here. I do jump on their repeater at Stutzmanville once in a while. That seems to be pretty strong and steady.
I don't know. I've not been a part of that club in a long time, so I'll leave that as that. We have our own club as far as managing all these repeaters and things like that around here. We're heavily involved in Oxcom, though, so we serve the emergency management agencies in Charlevoix, Sheboygan, and Emmett counties, and that's what our club is focused around.
I was looking up the website for the Northern Michigan repeaters that your network is, and it did look like your website was working very well. I was kind of looking for a map or a list of the coverage of your linked repeater system. Is that available somewhere?
Yeah, it's supposed to be on the website. Drake, you still here?
I'm messaging Gavin about it.
Thank you. That's what I needed. It's a WordPress site. Sometimes it needs some percussive maintenance to come back alive. So Jake's gonna message our website guru for that. Apologies that it's not working.
All right. Well, I'll check back another time and see if it's back up and running. Once again, gentlemen, thanks everybody. Appreciate it. KF8ENF monitoring.
Yep, and then I don't know if you got a pen and paper handy, but jot down if you want to go to our club's website, It's CCECPSCO.org. Charlie Echo Charlie. Oh, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to have to type it out. It's Charlevoix, Sheboygan, and Emmett County's Public Service Communications Organization. So if you go to CCECPSCO.org, you can check out what our club does. We meet the second Saturday of every month at usually the Emergency Operations Center, the ambulance barn there on Epler Road in Petoskey.
Standing. Maybe I'll drop by and meet you guys one of these upcoming meetings. That's great. I'll check you out there, too.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be listening out. N8APX.
So it's Juliet Kilo Foxtrot, say Nature.